All right, everybody. All right. Good morning. Good morning on this actual Veterans Day. So I'm going to play a song in honor of our veterans. Here we go. No sound. What a farce. Hold on a second here. Well, that's sad that y'all can't hear. Maybe there's a setting I'm doing wrong or something. But it is Onward Christian Soldier. I was having the Gaither sing it. Onward Christian Soldier. Let me see if I can just do the singing myself. Hold on, because I'm honoring the veterans of the Army of the Living God. So let me see if I can sing at least just the chorus. And all of you that can see the screen can see I'm pulling it up. Okay. Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Okay, I'll just read it to you because I don't have the tune. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Isn't that beautiful? At the sign of triumph, Satan's host does flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Isn't that beautiful? And make sure I got my, okay, I do have the recording going. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we. One in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward then, you people, join the happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ our King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on for. Good morning. Good morning, everybody, on this Veterans Day in the natural. I pray everybody had a wonderful weekend. Can y'all believe we're just a couple of weeks away from Thanksgiving? I mean, it just seems so hard to believe the timing of everything, how everything is just speeding up. And I want to thank you guys for praying for Dennis yesterday. He was not feeling good yesterday because he had an accident years ago when he was in California. where he was in the ocean surfing, and a wave overtook him and slammed him against the sand and almost broke his neck. So he has this disc that wants to go either to either side. It kind of moves around. But y'all prayed for him yesterday, and he is feeling 100% better today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Your prayers availeth much. And, you know, this morning I laid hands on his neck, and I just proclaimed, you know, in the name of Jesus, that disc will line up, you know. And I pray that for all of you guys. You know, that injuries of the past, the traumas of the past will be null and void in the future in the name of Jesus. If this pertains to you, lift your hands and proclaim it. That the injuries of the past, the assaults of the past, the traumas of the past will not hold us back from being in the army of the living God and what God has called us to in this hour. We will go forth as soldiers in the army of the living God, fully equipped and with the equipment that we need to accomplish our missions. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, this morning, I do have a word for you, some scriptures for us to read. So I'm going to actually just go ahead and get started. As far as ministry stuff, there's really nothing new going on. You know, I'm working on the website, the Garden of Eden Ministries website. So that's going good. You know, I got an EIN number and getting everything set up with the state. So we're just going to go forward. And, you know, this is the month of transition. So I'm getting the website set up and getting everything set up for, you know, the school to start on December 2nd, the actual day that it will start. And I am going to go ahead and stick with Tidely until, you know, I'm going to talk to them tomorrow until they try to get me to do pass keys and all that, and that's when I will have to back out. So until then, we're just going to use their simple platform and be done with it. And then, let's see what else. Oh, the last week of November, before we start the school, the ministry will be shut down for 1 week. We will do church, and then that will be it. That's Thanksgiving week. And then we will meet again on December 1st because I need to spend time with God. I need to go in the woods and I need to really seek his face for this next mission. Because remember, this month is the month that We Are the Bride Ministries is officially finished. And I'm kind of sad about it because it's, you know, something that I birthed in the earth. But I am happy the way that God is closing the books to it, because I got a notice the other day that the United Nations is trying to position We Are the Bride Ministries under the United Nations as an NGO. And I refuse. And I'm like, Lord, I thank you. Can you believe that the Lord has been working for this past 6 weeks to get everything shut down? See, it's just his perfect timing. And so I will be able to refuse the beast and, but anyway, so I want to, you know, take a week and spend it with God and, get before the throne before we go into our warfare, because that I actually, pray that for all of you guys. That that last week of November, that, you know, if you'll get before the King and spend time with him, because when we start in December, it's going to be nonstop warfare. So you need this time of resting and getting before his face for refreshing. You need refreshing and, shut everything down, you know. Get your eyes out of the matrix and get it on heaven and let the Lord, you know, really just pour into you before you move into the transition of, you know, now we're going to battle and going to war type of deal. So that's what's going on this month. And then next month we'll begin as Garden of Eden Ministries in this new identity type of deal. But I do want to tell you, though, that the Lord this morning, we definitely have some troubled days ahead. That lady the other day that told us to listen to that man, that Hispanic man, who said that about, you know, the tsunami, I think it was tsunami, hurricane, that Raphael, you know, would be bringing some plagues and stuff over here to the United States. And, you know, it's rained almost every day since, you know, we listened to him. Now, I'm not saying that what he's saying is right, but I do believe that we are headed into the days of Egypt, where we're having the plagues. And, you know, the pestilences and stuff. And so this morning, that's what the Lord actually led me to. So we're going to examine that this morning. If you would turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. And I'll share my screen here. And let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, Lord, and thank you for preparing us for battle. And we thank you, Lord, for always giving us a heads up and keeping us in front of the enemy, not reacting to him, but we're ahead of him. Lord, you get all the glory for this. And we thank you that our ear is our currency, and that is what we trust, is what we're hearing, not what we're seeing. So we thank you today, Lord, for our ears hearing what the Spirit is saying into the church. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and for your glory being poured out in the earth in the midst of this darkness. And Lord, we lay our kids right now to put to the cross, Lord, our family members, the people that in their natural cannot see right now. We pray, God, that their eyes would be open, that they would see. Lord, please help them to see. We pray today on Veterans Day, Lord, for all the veterans in our military in the past. Lord, that they would love you more than they do their country, Lord. And that their eyes would be open and be able to see what's really happening out there. And that the country has been taken over and that it's not the way they are, you know, portraying it. So we pray that you take the scales off of the veterans, that they may see what is true. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in Exodus chapter 10, I'm going to, let's go ahead and start. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs before him." Now, I just want to tell you guys that I believe this was a prelude to where we're at now, because we are the modern day Israel, you know, and this is given as an example. "And thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." Now, okay, let's look at this from the big picture point of view. All right. You have in Moses' day is when God was revealed to mankind. So you had the Song of Moses. You have, you know, the great I Am revealed himself on top of the mountain. And he was telling everybody, "I am that I am." you know, and the, he, you know, Moses had the burning fire, you know, the bush that was on fire, and the earth was shaking, and the children of Israel, you know, was watching how God was expressing himself. Okay. And then now what is happening now? The beast is being revealed. He's declaring that he's the I am. He put it on the video that we have to go back to Egypt, okay? That Egypt has the right way. So basically, they're wanting to, you know, kind of do to us what was done to them type of deal. But a lot of the similarities of what happened that we're about to read is going to happen to us. Now let's continue. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your coast. And they shall cover the face of the earth. Now, let me just say this. Okay, these plagues that are coming on the earth now in this future is going to be for the wicked. The ones who have taken the mark, that have partnered with the beast. They're going to receive of the plagues that are going to be done to the wicked. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remained unto you from the hail, and shall eat of every tree which grows for you out of the field. And they shall fill your houses, and your houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since that day they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the man go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go, serve your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young, our old, our sons, our daughters, our flocks, our herds. Will we go? For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, you that are men, and serve the Lord, for that you did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locust, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all the hail that has left. Now notice that God tells Moses, you know, I am going to bring locusts, going to devour everything. The time comes for this pestilence to come forth, and it's an act of a natural man to bring God's punishment in. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? The same thing applies in today's time. This is where prophets come in. God still does this. He tells people, go here, go there, do this, do that. There's reasons for that. Because God uses natural man to bring in his will. We partner with heaven. We are ambassadors of heaven. And when he tells us to do something, it's just like this with Moses. Okay? And Moses did it. He stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon all the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Bam. Look right there. I never saw this before. That man, that Hispanic man that said the winds was going to bring the toxic, the pestilence over here, Look, it actually happened in the Bible. The east wind brought the locust. Now, one thing that I do know that's happening that has to do with pandemic levels is our government, you know, President Biden sent over a team of people over there to Texas. I mean, not Texas, but Africa, where they have the monkeypox, which they changed the name of it because they said it was racist. But it's monkeypox. It's a gay disease, okay? And they're saying that it is spreading through Africa. So it's like a pandemic there. So Biden sends out a team of doctors to go down there to distribute this vaccine. So when I was, telling this story on the news, we talked about, it's probably so they can bring it back, the carriers of it. But what if it's like this gentleman says, this doctor, that, it's going to be the wind that delivers this across the earth? Well, it's what happened back here. And the locust went, now, and by the way, talking about that, New York, I see D's on here this morning. I texted her this morning. I said, what's going on in New York? Are you okay? Because there's a video out there of New Jersey where they have a thick fog. Hold on, let me get my heater on. I'm cold in here. I'm in my office now. But they have a thick fog, and a lot of people are getting sick. So they're telling people, get in your house and lock your doors type of deal. So, anyways, I tell you these things just so you can be aware, paying attention and see, if it's coming to your city or whatever, because you already kind of have a heads up. And the locust went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them, there was no such locust as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. Now, isn't that something that there were so many locusts that it covered everything? That would just be creepy on an everlasting stick. One time I did a video in Nashville. We had locusts. The natural brood that you have every 7 years. And it was so thick. I mean, and then back in the 90s when I was driving a school bus, it was really thick one year, so bad that we had to use our windshield wipers driving the bus, So I can't imagine if it was as thick as the way the Bible is describing it right here. Because it says in verse 15 that there were so many that the land was darkened. And they did eat everything. They ate the herb of the land, the fruit of the trees, which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. I know that we have our awesome goats back here. We have Jill and we have Jack and Jill, which you named them, the bride named them. We got them for our wedding as a gift from Leah and Randy. And then they had a son, Tom, and then the other son, but the other son, somebody bought them. So we have the three goats, and boy, they mow it down back there in the field. They eat all the leaves, and we wish they'd eat vines and all, but they don't. But it still helps a lot, they mow it down back there. So when I look back there, and there's no leaves or nothing, I can just imagine what it looked like in the land of Egypt, Verse 16, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste. And he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore, forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat your Lord that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh, and he entreated the Lord, which means interceded. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind. See, here comes the wind again, which took away the locust and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. Wow. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. You know, I've often wondered, why did God do that? Why, oh, why did he keep hardening that man's heart? You know, because if you think about it, all the people that paid the price because that man was so stubborn. You know, it makes you wonder about it, don't it? But one of the reasons I suspect why God allowed that to happen is for today. Because to show the power of God for the last generation. Okay? Now, verse 21, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt, which I wrote in my Bible in times past, the 3 days of darkness. Okay? And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven. So he obeyed God. The ear was his currency. And then his action brought the results, right? And there was thick darkness in the land of Egypt 3 days. Okay, so the first plague was the locust. The second was the darkness. Now, if you look on YouTube, there are tons of videos on the 3 days of darkness. Now, most of the videos are from Hebrew roots people. Most of them are from Catholics because it originally started as a Catholic prophecy from a friar. I forgot what year, you know, 1600s or whatever. He had a dream or whatever. And that's where it began, that we're headed into another 3 day darkness scenario. Well, then I've noticed that the people that are Hebrew roots really push this as well. Now, I do know that for us, which is what I trust is, you know, we kind of look at a few things out there and see, but we trust really, you know, what the Lord is telling us to do type of deal. So I know that for us, God told us to board up our windows. So we don't know why, but we're going to do it. We got the wood. You know, he hasn't done it yet because he's still working on the water system. So, but that's his next project. And, you know, so not that we're going to board them up right now and have them boarded up forever. It's just that there are a couple of windows on the house that, you know, can be boarded up and we can just leave them there because they're not used. But we're just going to have them sitting near so we can just, you know, throw them up and drill if we need to type of deal. But we are hearing that. We are hearing civil war. So that's what we're hearing. But going back to the Hebrew roots, though, these people that really push this, a lot of them are Hebrew roots, and they have several characteristics, okay? Their characteristics is they don't see Trump as the Antichrist. They see Obama as the Antichrist. A lot of them don't believe we're in tribulation right now. They believe it's coming. Another one is they are Sabbath keepers. You know, they've went way back, you know. And definitely against all holidays. I mean, they're way back, you know, into the Hebrew roots. They basically hung Jesus on the cross again. But they're the ones on YouTube, you know, that really pushes this theory. But the Lord took me here this morning. So we're going to look at, you know, what happened back then. So when we examine this, the 3 days of darkness was actually part of the plagues. They saw not one another, neither rose from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Remember, you know, because the way that they put it on out there is they have all these rules. You're supposed to buy beeswax candles, which is a Catholic thing. And then, you know, pray the rosary. And they say that Jesus is going to come visit everybody and give them a second chance. I don't believe that. And another thing about the Hebrew roots people that is a pattern is that they believe that they only are the 144,000. They call themselves messengers of Yah, you know, messengers. And I don't believe that either. I believe just what the Bible says, that it is young men. These are Jews, you know, people that are actually from the tribe that Jesus took up to heaven and is right now, you know, training them. They're in a training ground. These are the first fruits is what the Bible says. So I look at these guys, you know, just like Elisha. So it's nothing weird, you know, that the Lord would take away people. So he's done it with Elisha. He's done it with Elijah. So he done it with Jesus. So it's not unusual for him to take people from this realm to that realm, which we are going to be very soon because they're going to, swing the harvest sickle. But the point is that these 144,000 are Jewish men that are in heaven being trained right now to come back after we go up. When we go up, the bride of Christ is now with Jesus, having the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then they come down to the earth to woo God's bride. You know, this is the telling them that Jesus was the true Messiah. Because our evangelicals right now have truly dropped the ball. They truly have. Because they are teaching that there is two covenants. That these, you know, they're over there in Israel, you know, telling these people they don't have to get saved and go by Jesus' covenant. They're going to answer to God for that too. That these people still in this day go by the first covenant. Well, if you believe that, then what was the whole purpose of Jesus coming? Nothing. You just hung him on the cross again. Because the whole point of Jesus coming is that he is now made as adopted sons and daughters. We are now part of the family. That is what grafted in means. It's not the way the Jews are trying to tell people. Because that is Judeo-Christian is what they're saying. You are grafted in because of us. We are the elitist. You know, we don't have to bow down to your Jesus. We're better than that. We are, you know, this is their Judeo-Christian deal. This is why when John Hagee has his meetings, it's all about worshiping Israel. That's all it is. I couldn't believe it when I was in D.C. And you know, it was in the press corps, so I covered his event. But the point that I'm trying to say is, the 144,000 is not here yet, but neither is the two witnesses. So all them people on YouTube trying to act like they're the two witnesses, that's a farce. That's a farce. All right, so let's go back here to the 3 days of darkness. So basically, what do we know about the days of Israel, of what the 3 days was? We know that it was so dark that you could just feel the darkness. We know that they could not, it was so dark they couldn't even see each other. So they were basically froze for 3 days. They were in their houses. It doesn't say, you know, that demons roamed like the way they tell it today, you know, that demons, the hordes of demons are loose. Don't open the door. They're going to mock your family members in their voice and all this. Now, I'm not saying that that may not happen because, I mean, knowing about technology and what they're doing, I can see that happening. You know, but I do see that we will have light in our houses, just like that woman that had that dream, Alma. Remember her dream of the darkness? She said that she was on her way to her parents' house, and there was a loud boom, and then there was gross darkness. You know, she couldn't hardly even see in front of her. She got to her mother's house, and then when she got in there, she had lights when everybody else was black, and she saw a baby sitting over there, and so she grabbed the baby, and then, you know, the fiance come over there, and he said, "I saw what happened, so I come here to check on your parents." So he told her, "Shut the lights off. There's people coming after us." There was a, you know, a truck pulling up with machine guns and stuff that was coming to get them. And there was a big snake that came in the house. She said it was so big. I forgot how many feet wide it was. But it rolled through the house looking for them. And she knew in the dream that the snake had brought them there. So, you know, we take that as, you know, Lucifer, they're following Lucifer, and he's telling them, you know, where to go. And so they were in the kitchen when the snake was wrapping around the table looking for them, but could not see them. So the snake backed out and left the house. And then they escaped out the back door, jumped in the truck, and saw a tower fall, you know. So I take that dream as, you know, that we may have, you know, a gross darkness like this, and that it will be the sign that Babylon has fallen. I do know that in the 3-day fast we just had, you know, the Lord told me that Babylon is about to fall. And he had me read 2 chapters in the book of Revelation. I think it was 14 and 18. You know, which talked about it type of deal. All right, so let's go back to the scripture here. So Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, "Go ye and serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds stay here. Let your loved ones go with you." Moses said, "You must give us all our sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our cattle must go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind, for thereof we must take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come together." So he's saying, look, this is part of our life, dude, you know. We have to have these animals, so they got to come too. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he wouldn't let them go. So Pharaoh said unto him, now see, this is another principle we need to learn. Okay, the children of Israel had to endure these punishments to Egypt. God is the one doing it. Remember our saying, the will of the Lord be done. We don't understand why God does these things. You know, people get so mad, you know, over death, people dying when they're too early. They shouldn't have died. You know, something's been taken from them and they get mad at God. You know, they don't have this understanding of the will of the Lord be done. You have to have that in your heart, bride, because we do not understand the big picture. We have to serve the Lord, or you'll never get past servanthood. You have to serve when you don't understand. This is what I'm trying to tell you about how your eyes can't lead you. It has to be your ears, because your eyes will fail you because you're trying to figure it out. Christianity is beyond figuring it out. It is obedience. It's servanthood. So you have to put your understanding aside and you have to just say, yes, Lord. And that's what Moses did in this case with Pharaoh. He just said, yes, Lord, I will do what you tell me to do. He didn't understand why he's causing darkness to come over the land, you know, causing locusts to come over the land. Does it make sense to him? No. Does it make sense to him that God keeps hardening Pharaoh's heart and causing all these people out here to suffer? Do y'all hear what I'm saying? This is where you have to let God use your vessel. You know, that you're just a part of a bigger picture, you know, type of deal. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let him go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, and take heed to yourself. See my face no more, for in that thou shalt see my face, you will die. And Moses said, you have spoken well. I will see your face again no more. In other words, I'll see you, sucker. All right, let's go to Exodus 11. And the Lord said to Moses, yet I will bring one more plague on the Pharaoh. You know, Moses is like, no, I don't want to see him again. I just told him I wouldn't see him again, Lord. Please don't have to make me walk in there to Pharaoh again. Yeah. Afterwards, now this is God still talking to Moses. Afterwards, he'll let you go. And when he lets you go, he will thrust you out altogether. In other words, he'll give you everything you're asking for now. So speak now in the ears of the people. Notice he's saying ears. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver, jewels of gold. And let the Lord give the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. What is this? Do you mean that God is going to give you favor in the midst of the judgment? Can it be that God would do such a thing? Yes. Capital. Y-E-S. Why would God do that? Because God is making it very plain. It's as plain as the nose on your face. You serve your God, this is what you get. I serve my God, and this is what we get. This is what I was telling you guys about our children. Whenever the children come to us and they're all mad because they're suffering, and then they see you blessed with food and lights in your house, and then what is our reaction to them? Of course, it's in love. Don't get me wrong. But you're going to look at them and you're going to say, this is the difference. Whose God do you serve? If you have I on the throne, then you serve Lucifer. If you think it's all about me, that's serving Lucifer. So you've chosen your God, and thus you're reaping the benefits of that God. That's why God does this, because he gets the glory. So make sure you give the glory to God, you know. And you're telling your kids who are choosing to walk in disobedience, why are they choosing to walk in disobedience? Because they like the benefits thereof. They like the temporary pleasure that it is giving them. Not only that, but it is the worldly acceptable way to go. They feel more normal. A lot of people don't like to be outcasts, and that's what being a Christian is today, especially if you're a non-beer, especially if you're awake and you see what's happening out here. You're definitely a castaway in this evil old world, you know. And so he's telling, the reason God is doing this is to make it very plain. This is my child, this is not. This is a sheep and this is a goat. You know, and so, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of servants and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Can you imagine giving this word? From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits on his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast, the animals, ain't that sad? And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there is none like it, nor shall be like it any more. That is so sad. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know how the Lord does. There it is. There it is. Praise you, Jesus. How the Lord does put a difference between Egyptians and Israel. You're suffering, mine are not. You're lacking, mine are not. You are, you know, receiving the plagues, mine are not. Obvious difference. Now, remember what we talked about in the three-day deal, in the three-day fast. You have to be humble because people are going to be jealous and very angry when they see how you are provided for. And I don't care if you are taken into one of their re-education camps that they've got set up in California, which I am putting that video together today, the interview I did with that woman. But, you know, even if you end up there, the favor, God's favor is amazing. Let's go back to Esther. Esther in the palace with all them other women. She had the favor with the king's man, didn't she? That kind of favor. What about Corrie Ten Boom and her story, The Hiding Place? I love that movie. Corrie Ten Boom had favor. How did she have favor when she was in a camp? She had favor because there was lice in the camp. You call that favor, that she's in there with a bunch of lice? Yeah. You know why? Because she is able to minister to those women. Because now the guards are not coming in there because they didn't want the lice to jump on them. There's various ways of favor, which goes along with being wealthy. You know, wealthy is not money, that's riches. Wealthy is God. It's the everlasting rivers flowing, the favor that is on your life, the eyes of God that are upon you, the position in his kingdom where he always goes before you. He keeps you ahead of the game. He protects you. He looks out for you. That is the wealth. But what brings that wealth? Obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, because some people will not obey God no matter what. They don't want to give up their comforts, you know. And this is something that I'm noticing right now, because everything looks so peaceful and, you know, the election looks like it, you know, was pulled off so good and everything, is that the people that did not like what I had to say, especially, you know, pulling out of the metaverse, and they didn't want to because they've got so much, they don't want to lose nothing. You know, and now that it looks like prosperity's rolling off like a river, they're letting me know it too. You know, it's like now it's like, this is why I can't go with you, because look, Trump's turned it all around. You know, but they just don't know. You know, they're just, some people, their material things truly run their life and they don't know it. You know, you have to have it set in your mind that you will give up everything. You have to let it go and realize that everything that you have is not yours. God can have it anytime he wants it, and he may want it back. So let's continue in the word here. Okay. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord. Oh, I said that about the firstborn. Okay, go down to verse 6. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, like as none like it, nor will any be like it anymore. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how the Lord does put a difference between Egyptians and Israel. And all these servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from among the Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all the wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened his heart again, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Can y'all believe this? And the Lord spoke to Moses, chapter 12, and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Uh-oh. It's a new era, huh? Okay, honey, 10-4. He's letting me know he's back. Speak ye unto the children of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Oh, I see what's happening now. I see what's happening now. This start the Passover, because we're about to do the Passover here. The Passover started the new calendar. Interesting. Speak ye to the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Isn't that interesting? He could take the first fruits out of sheep or goats. I've never seen that before, or never stood out like that before. Now, notice that it says that it has to be a lamb without blemish. Okay, now we're talking Jesus is that lamb that was without blemish. This is what I was telling Dennis. I said, man, we are going to delve into the tabernacle at the college. We are. Because it opens up so many revelations of Jesus. So many wonders that we see about God and what he really did when he gave us Jesus. Because Jesus is that lamb without blemish. And notice that the 144,000 are men, like it says here, male the first year. Men that do not have blemish. It's interesting, isn't it? And you shall keep it till the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now, Jesus is applied on the doorpost of our heart. See, we are the temple. We're a house. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, and opens that door, which means you, it's a choice of your will. This is why Lucifer wants you to take the mark by the choice of your will. He will come in our house and will sup with us, that lamb. And he will have fellowship with us. Okay? So, when we apply the blood, when we pray, this is a good principle to know. When we apply the blood, it is proclaiming over our house that we recognize the power of Jesus' blood. This is a weapon that we have in the kingdom of God, is his blood. You know, and we're able to apply that. And we have many times, you know, prayed over our temples, prayed over the doorpost of our house. Another thing, look at Dorothy down in Florida. When the hurricane just come right to her door, man. She lives right on the bay in a high tower building. And the thing come right to her. Flooded every apartment but hers. And she was the first one with lights. You can't make this up. But why did that happen? Let's reevaluate Dorothy. See, the day before it hit, we was in a prayer call. And Dorothy told everybody, she said, I am applying the blood of Jesus over my door today. Do you know that flood could not cross her door? Isn't that something? It's a very real thing. When I got my apartment in Washington, D.C., boy, that's the first thing I did. Yes, I did. I went out on my deck And I took the anointing oil and I prayed the blood all, and I took that oil, rubbed it all the way around the edges of my porch and said, you cannot have any access to this apartment. I claimed it for the kingdom of God, for God's will to be done here. Pled the blood of Jesus. And one day when that prophet showed up at my door, I told y'all that story, how God rebuked me. Because I have been in disobedience twice before over a man who I liked because he was a world changer like me, preacher. I thought we was meant to be together. You know, he was just like me. And, but the Lord, you know, came to me in a dream the first night me and him talked. And he said, this man ain't for you. Stop it. I was like, yes, sir. So I stopped it. But then I got tempted. We talked again. The Lord came to me 3 days later in a dream. He said, I told you to stop it. I said, yes, sir. Blocked the man. Called him a week later. I had this sting, you know. So we talked again 3 more days. And the next thing you know, I got a knock on my door. I opened that door and there was a young man standing there. And he pointed his finger straight in my face and he said, thus saith the Lord, let that man go. And when he said that, I knew God had busted my selfish heart, that I had a sting is the only way I can describe it, because usually I don't talk to men. But there was something about him that stung my heart that I would choose the disobedience. So when God brought the prophet to my door and had exposed me and called me out for my sin, I knew then I was done for. And I lifted my hand up and said, cast it out, sir. Because I knew it was something, a demon had grabbed me or something. So he said, come out. And when he did, that thing left. And I didn't have that sting anymore. So I don't know, you know, if somebody had placed a curse on me or whatever, if this, but he set me down and he told me, he said, the reason that guy liked you so much is because the man told me he was falling in love with me. He says, because he wanted your ministry, your media ministry, your television ministry. And I'm going to tell y'all, I have seen women that are like me that, you know, have been doing television that have been overtaken by men like that and they ruin their ministry. I've seen it. So I've always been on guard of my anointing, you know, type of deal. So anyways, but when I humbled myself before the prophet, God forgave me and I moved forward. So me and that prophet went out and we prayed over the Masonic temples. The George Washington one that was in my town, Alexandria, Virginia. And then the 33rd degree Scottish one, which was in downtown D.C. So after we got back, you know, I was cooking for us. And all of a sudden to my window, here they come. It was a whole coven of witches. And they like surrounded me. And I saw them in the spirit. And they could not cross that bloodline, baby. They could not cross that deck. They couldn't cross the blood. And I looked at them and I said, I see you guys. You leave right now in the name of Jesus. And then they left. And I've had witches come to me in the middle of my live broadcast doing the news. And I've had to stop my broadcast and deal with them. You know, the Lord has showed me how they do, they spirit travel. But anyways, the point is, the blood, they cannot cross the blood. It is a weapon that we have. So let's go back to the Passover and look at this on a very more serious note. And, okay, verse 6, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, now this is of the spotless lamb, okay, and strike it on 2 side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat of the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. You know why I think, now that I'm learning stuff from Dennis, about the bitter herbs, this is an interesting fact, okay? I believe those herbs God knew to help them with their upset stomach. Because if I have an upset stomach, Dennis will have a cure. You know, like he'll say, go in there and make you a drink of a ginger. You know, that helps upset stomach. And it just stops it just like that. Ain't that funny? But there are certain herbs that you take whenever you, you know, eat foods that are not good or whatever, and it kind of, you know, helps you, okay? I think that's what he means right here when he says, and with bitter herbs you shall eat it. So that's pretty interesting. But Dennis is told me something funny last night. His brother went to Iowa, which is where they're from, this week, and bought, there's a factory up there that makes diatomaceous earth, you know, that powder stuff. And it's really, really healthy. You know, it's, of course, the food grade, but it's really, really healthy substance that you can put on your garden, you know, to kill the bugs and whatnot. And it's really good for your gut, you know, to get rid of parasites and stuff like that. So here's Dennis. He said, I'm just letting you know that, you know, I put it in our food all the time. I was like, I ain't mad about it. You know, you do what you got to do. I mean, you're the husband, you know. But anyways, he bought, like, they sell them in like the 50-pound bags. So it is so loved by their family that every time they go to Iowa, they load up on that diatomaceous earth. So he bought like 3 50-pound bags. And then you know, his brother bought a bunch of bags and stuff like that. But anyways, it's that made me think of about the bitter herbs. Okay, so verse 9. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof, which means his guts and stuff. So, you know, I was thinking about this. Now, God is giving Moses the instructions for how to be blessed. The spirit of death is about to hit the land of Egypt, where it's going to kill all the firstborn, is what the Bible, what it says. But to the children of Israel, God is telling, I want you to do this, do this, do this, do this. Do you think that the children of Israel would listen to this instructions and say, God wants me to eat the bones and all? How crazy is this? You know, he wants me to eat the guts of the lamb. You know, I mean, think about what God's asking these people to do inside these houses, where they take the blood that they release out of the animal. And then and you can imagine how cute they are, these little animals. They're so cute. They're innocent, you know. The firstborn male of the first year, they're not even a year old. I know our goat, Tom, oh my goodness, we're so in love with Tom. You know, he's probably a year and a half now, you know. But I know what a goat or a sheep would look like at a year old. They're just so freaking cute. Cutie patootie. So you can imagine, you know, like the kids looking at this going, oh, I got to kill this cutie patootie. So you got to take the blood, you know, and put it on the doorpost and put it over the top. You don't know why God's asking you to do that. And Then look at what God is telling them to do. Okay. Keep it to the 14th day. Okay, take the blood, strike it on the doorpost. All right, 10. Eat the flesh in that night. Roast it with fire and with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Eat not of it raw, which means cook the whole thing through. Don't sodden it with water. Don't soften it. You know? Roast it with fire. His head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And God wants them to eat the legs, the head, the eyeballs, the ears, the nose, the mouth. Think about what this is. Think about it. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, people. And that which remains of until the morning, you shall burn with fire, which means if you can't eat the bones, burn the bones. But God is wanting them to eat every last bit of the lamb. Now, I think about Jesus and why we do communion. Think about this. Jesus said, eat this bread as you are eating me. Isn't that something? Jesus is the lamb that was slain for us. So when we take the bread, it represents Jesus. That we're really eating Jesus. I mean, think about what these people are doing here. Now, and the fact that they're obeying God and they're eating everything that he's putting before them, even though their eyes are saying, this is the dumbest thing. I cannot believe I'm having to eat these eyeballs. You know, I mean, just imagine the children of Israel, they're just normal people. But just imagine what they're thinking when they're sitting there looking at this lamb roasting on the fire, and then they got to sit there and eat this whole thing. They don't understand why God is telling them to do this command, but they do it out of obedience. Now, that is a key principle for us to know. The obedience cannot come with rationing of the mind, because you will ration yourself right out of your miracle because it sounds so crazy. When I told y'all about the night, you know, before I went to D.C. and I was visiting that church, there's like 400 people there. I didn't know these people from Adam. And the Lord told me, because their worship service was dry as an everlasting bone, you know. And the Lord told me, I want you to go up there and worship me in front of this entire church, and I want you to let it rip. He told me, he said, if you can't go up here and worship me in front of 400 strangers, then you're not going to worship me in Washington, D.C. So I knew I had to suffer my face, my image, and go up there as a big woman, letting it rip, jumping, dancing, worshiping. I went up there in front of that entire church. Yes, I did. And I let God have all my love. I lavished my love upon him in front of everybody. I didn't care. But do you know that because I did that, that church broke out in revival? People started running around that church screaming. The pastor didn't get to preach. It was really awesome. So afterwards, the pastor came up to me at the altar. He thanked me so much for obeying God. And I told him, sir, I'm going to D.C. tomorrow with no money. And the Lord told me to do this, and I knew if I didn't, he was not going to let me go. And so he had his church pray for me, you know, which was really awesome. But the point is, just like these children of Israel right here, they don't know why they're having to place the doorpost, the blood on the doorpost, why they're having to sit there in their house, and why they're having to eat this whole animal. But they obeyed the ear of the Lord. Now, notice that he said up here, speak ye to the congregation of Israel, say it unto them. So they heard the commandment of the Lord, which said to do it like this, do it like this, and do it like this. Okay. Now, so they're hearing this. Verse 10, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remains of it till the morning, you'll burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it. Look at this. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So what does this sound like? Wow. It sounds just like the full armor of God. Why would God ask the children of Israel to eat this lamb with their armor on? They're sitting in their house. The spirit of death is about to hit the land. They applied the doorpost on the door. Then he tells them, put your armor on and then sit there and hurry up and eat this. Hurry, hurry, hurry. You got to eat it in haste. Hurry, hurry. And then you got to burn it with fire and whatnot. Do you know that the reason God said that is because it's a battle? Why is it a battle? Because obedience is warfare. Obedience. Boy, it's a good lesson today. Woo! Obedience is warfare. When you obey God, the demons tremble. Because God is using your temple. He is getting the glory. He's using your vessel. So that's what that was. They obeyed the Lord. Put the blood on the doorpost. Weapon number one. Put their battle clothes on. Weapon number two. Obey God and ate all of the stuff. Weapon number three. And then they sat in their house till in the morning. Weapon number four. They obeyed the Lord. And it was their weapon, see. Now, watch this. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet. Because what is the full armor of God? We pray on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girded about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, and the garment of praise. That is the full armor of God. Of course, a couple of those things I added on there, the garment of praise, that's not actually in the Bible. But I just say that because I feel like that's an armor. Because when you praise the Lord, that is your battle gear. That is, praising the Lord is warfare. See, another thing. In that church, this just come to me. I never thought of this before. In that church, the reason those people were dead, those 400 people, is because of the atmosphere. The heaviness of the atmosphere. And they were all, you know, under this spell or whatever. When God had me go up to that altar in front of all these strangers that I didn't know, and I began to dance before the Lord and twirl around and wave my arms in my worship and adoration of my King, every stroke of my arm was like a sword going through the air, cutting through the atmosphere of this demonic stronghold that was in this church. And it tore down the veil. Yes, it did. It tore down the veil. opening the atmosphere for God to move. That is the power of your praise. And that is what, when these people, the children of Israel, obeyed God and they ate of the food thereof, they put on the armor and did all the little steps. You know, like I was telling you guys when God gave me that dream to go across the nation, I did the 36 days, 18,000 miles. That was after I did the 40 days fasting and praying for President Trump with those team of people. I had the 2-week break. Then I had 4 nights of dreams. And in those 4 nights, the Lord downloaded, this is what I call downloaded. He downloaded the assignment. Okay, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. The assignment, 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 list, list, list. Okay, the next day I had another dream. I also want you to do a 50 days ablaze. I want you to pray for every state, you know, blah, blah, blah. So 4 nights of commandments, huge mission. Took 6 months on the road to do. But by the obedience of just going out there and doing the most radical stuff, I obey God on every one of those commands that he gave me. And you know what else? I did a video where I cast my vision before the world. Of course, you know, back then I only had 30 followers. But I cast my vision and I told them, this is what the Lord is telling me to do. I'm coming to your city. I want to stay at your house. I want to meet you people across this country. So I had a lot of people house me across this country that I got to meet, you know. But I cast the vision. I told them all up front, God said I'm to have 4 revivals, one on the north, south, east, and west. Well, it happened. I had one in Detroit, one in Houston, one in Los Angeles, and one in Nashville. I had it on the north, south, east, and west. The 50 days ablaze, traveling across this country, going along the entire border on the 6-month tour, blah, blah, blah. But the point is, when you finish your obedience, you don't know why God has you do. I mean, for a long time, like, God, why in the world did you have me do that? But now I understand. When he would have me go to these states and he'd say, okay, he'd give me a dream. And he would say, when you get to New Hampshire, this certain city, I forgot what the name of that city was, I want you to go to the courthouse and I want you to pray this, this, and this. You know, it's all for a reason, because God needs this. He needs it, the people on the earth, because we have rights here. See, we have rights because we are living. We have breath. If we only knew the power we do have. But we have breath, so thus when God tells us to do something, that act of obedience is the most powerful thing, because it brings God to a situation type of deal. So let's go back to the word. Okay, so for thus you shall eat, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste, as it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Isn't that sad? And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. In other words, I am judging the wicked right here. So y'all get in your house, do what I say, and then let me do what I'm doing. Type of deal. Now, look at this next command, because this is very interesting. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not. Did it say it shall or shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt? And that's the same thing here. This is why, bride, you cannot come in agreement with the COVID. You cannot. I don't care if you have every symptom that looks like that thing. Do not come in agreement with it. You are not of this world. You say, I do not have that. I don't agree with you. I don't care what the symptoms are. I don't agree with you. I am healed in the name of Jesus. Because he will try to convince you and try to get you to come in agreement so that you will take it upon you. Don't take it. Say, I refuse you. I renounce you, sucker. I am not coming in agreement with you. I am not going to accept that you came upon me. And I sure ain't going to let you say you killed one of my loved ones. I am not going to slap that on their funeral to get $10,000. Forget you. You know, going down in history with that being labeled on my family member. No, thank you. I am not claiming it. You know, because you are set apart, see? You are set apart. You are the children of Israel, the modern day children of Israel. Now, something else that I want to point out that really stuck to me this morning in my prayer time was this sentence right here that says, and the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. So I looked up the word token because I know that in this Luciferian economy that they have set up, tokens is what they call it. Crypto, token. And tokenized assets. I've been researching what does that mean because of what they're going to do in the future to real estate. They're going to be having battles online of paying for people's properties, and they're called tokenized assets. It's where they're taking real world assets and they're using tokens up in the cloud to stake claim, you know, that is coming in the future. And by the way, I found out today that COP 20, I think it's 29, is going on right now. So when I do the news tomorrow night, I'm doing news, you know, on Tuesday night, we're going to be looking at what they're doing, you know, if they're in COP. Okay, so when it talks about the token, let me read you the definition of token. All right, let's see. Definition of token. A thing serving as a visible or tangible representation of a fact, quality, feeling, etc. I want to offer you a small token of my appreciation. So they're giving them something. As a representation. So God is saying, take that blood as a token. It's a representative that I am with you and I am protecting you. Definition number two, a voucher that can be exchanged for goods or services, typically one given as a gift or offered as part of a promotional offer, like redeem this token for a free dessert. Okay, another adjective of it is done for the sake of appearances or as a symbolic gesture. Okay, so it means a piece resembling a coin issued for use as on a fare bus by a particular group or a piece resembling a coin issued as money by some person or by, in other words, it is an exchange. It's an exchange for something. So that's what he's saying. So, and instead of me taking your life, I'm going to accept your token. So, in the mark of the beast, it is like that as well. It is as a token. Watch this. Let me look up scriptures, King James Version, about the word token. All right, so let me go to okay. The word token, let's look at some of the scriptures. So I'm going to show you on the screen here. Here's Deuteronomy 22:15. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city of the gate. 22:17. And lo, he has given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. In other words, blood on the thing. Okay. Let's go to I know it's in the book of Revelation. Hold on. The word token in the book of Revelation. Revelation 2:17. Okay. Let's see, in this Bible study tools, when they talk about the token meaning, let's see what they say. Sign and token are virtually synonymous words in the King James Version, are used with little or no distinction. In Exodus 13, compare 13, 9, and 16. If there's any difference, token is perhaps more concrete and palpable than sign. But this difference cannot be stressed. The modern use of token, however, is a memorial of something past, found in Numbers 17:10 and Joshua 2:12. All right, let's see. Oh, that's all they have. Okay. All right, here we go. Revelation 2:17. In this verse, Jesus concludes his letter to the church at Pergamum by extending an invitation and making a promise. He invites anyone with ears to hear the Spirit's message to the churches. The invitation is similar to what Jesus said during his earthly ministry. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 11:15. Of course, Jesus' invitation to hear means more than simply taking in audible sounds. It means to heed, to accept, and to obey. In James 1:22, the meaning is clear. Jesus writes, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Jesus promises a reward to everyone who refuses to accept the teachings of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. These were mentioned in verse 15 and 16, respectively. In a curious statement, this verse says the overcomer will receive from Jesus some hidden manna and a inscribed stone. All right, so let's see how the Bible describes it. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows save he that receives it. So I don't see how that is taken as the token. There it is. There it is. I found it. Numbers. And it shall be a token upon your hand and the frontlets between your eyes. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you forth out of Egypt. Numbers 17:10. And then it talks about it in the book of Revelation about the mark of the beast will be on your hand or on your forehead. Now, that is a token. But here's the key. Notice how it says in Numbers that it's by the hand. Notice that God pours out the judgments upon Egypt because of the hand. What does that mean? Whose God are you going to trust in? Are you going to trust in whichever God that you're trusting in to take care of you is the one that you're going to be led by? And that is the hand. Whose hand are you trusting in? Boy, I should do a whole sermon on the hand of God. Because if you really believe that the hand of God is the God that you're trusting, then you will be willing to lay down your life. Because you know that His hand is the one in control. He is the one finishing the chapters of your book. You take your hand off of the pen and let Him have the pen. Okay, now, so let's go back to the scripture here. So the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this shall be done unto you for a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast for an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your house. For whoever eats unleavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day shall be a holy convocation. Okay, so the point is, he goes through this whole thing for Passover. Go down to verse 27 or 26. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what do you mean by this service? You will answer your children. And this is a good example of how we are to answer our children about our obedience to the Lord. You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passes over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head in worship. So in other words, giving God the glory to our children when they ask us, why are we favored and they're not, because they're choosing to walk in disobedience. You always keep it on the Lord. The reason that I am this way. And listen, I'm going to tell y'all this right now. You can live in the house with somebody that's disobedient, and they will not be blessed as you are blessed. There will be a dividing difference in the house. There will be like trouble on their shore type of deal and not your shore. So even if you're in the same house, it is still going to be evident. Because of the choices that they are making. And we have to make sure we keep their eyes focused on their own soul. Not blaming other people. Oh, it's their fault why this is happening to me. You know, it's the government's fault because this is happening to me. This is this. Keep it on them. No. It's your choice of who you're choosing to trust. If you really trusted God, then you would know that He is in control. And that is where you see me. I'm at peace, and you see why. Because the storms may be raging around me. The plagues may be coming around me, but I have peace. Why do I have peace? Because God is with me. I have chosen to put Him as my God. And this is the reason, son or daughter, that you are seeing me so blessed. It's not me at all. It's just me. Yeah, I mean, I chose that this is the God that I'm trusting. But with that comes consequences. See, they need to understand that their choice to trust in the world, their choice to trust in certain people who are false and certain people who are following wrong leaders or whatever, it's their choice is going to bring their consequence. Okay? And then that way they have to face their self. Always keep it on them and God. Okay? And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. For the firstborn of Pharaoh, this is verse 29, that sat on his throne, and to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Isn't that sad? Now you can imagine what the children of Israel had to listen to while they were sitting in their houses, screaming and wailing in the streets, banging on their door, "Let me in, it's coming to kill my kids, let us in, I've got to have, please, I see the blood on the doorpost of your house, I see that you're protected, I see that you have lights when it's dark out here, please open your door, let me in, let my son in, I don't want my son to die." You can only imagine. Because judgment has come to their house based upon the decision they made. And a lot of people are going to hate you for it. They're going to hate you for your blessings. This is what I'm trying to tell you. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Wow. Wow. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among the people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We be all dead men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs, being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as were required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed. Okay, so y'all know the rest of the story. Now, I am going to have to call it a day, bride, because I have got so much work to do. To get ready, you know, I'm working on that website right now. So I will see you guys in the morning, but I want to pray for us as a whole before I leave. Okay. The thing is that God is encouraging us this morning that we are to obey. Here's a few principles for you to know from this lesson. Number one, trust in the Lord no matter what you see. You cannot trust your eyes because the beast is putting forth deep fake technology. I'm going to show you guys on the news tomorrow night how these ministers are working with AI in their ministry. I don't think God honors that. And I'm going to show you how they're doing it. So that when you, if you watch a video, you'll know who's working with the beast and who's not. Because I don't believe we should be partnering with AI. That's just my opinion. But for that, to obey the Lord when you don't understand, to keep your family members when they're hurting and you're looking out your window and you're seeing them getting beat up by that tree of knowledge of good and evil, you know, you need to keep them focused. That's because of the choices you're making. You know, if you would turn around and serve the Lord, then he will take care of you like he is me. You know, and, you know, so those are just a few principles. And another is, you know, we may be seeing this darkness come upon the land soon. And, you know, to trust in the Lord through it all, and that obedience is better than sacrifice. Okay, so let's all pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word this morning, Lord, that you are encouraging us and showing us that when we choose this day who we will serve, the God of all creation, that your hand is what we desire, that it's your hand that will lead and guide us and block and protect and comfort us and discipline us when we need it. We thank you for that hand, Lord. You are worthy to be praised, God. And I pray for all the homes that are represented today, that you bless their homes, that you heal their bodies, Lord, heal their hearts. And Lord, let their ears hear what the Spirit is saying unto them. Lord, we thank you for the word as it was a T-bone steak this morning. We worship and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.